knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Andy and
stop it.
Andy and Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you, sir.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is those Golden Graham treats you made that you referenced on the last episode. They were very good.
So good.
You know what? At first, I thought they, you know, obviously, s'mores.
Sure.
You had the Graham, you had the chocolate, and the marshmallow.
Simple.
I thought you were a little light on the chocolate at first, but then as you went along, like, nah, it's a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good amount. You know, you don't need to overdo it with the chocolate, which is something that I kind of wanted at first.
Right.
You know? So I actually learned a lesson from these treats. It was an educational Rice Krispie
treat.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I think the problem with those actually is this, right? When you put the right amount of chocolate on there, it makes you want to stop eating them.
Mm.
But when you put too little and too many marshmallows, you'll just go, well, I'll have another.
See, this maybe is another
I'll have
lesson.
Another.
there are even deeper wisdoms that are revealed through
That's
this.
That's the trick.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is my dogs peed on my bed.
Okay. Congratulations.
But, yeah, it was great. They've been having territorial shit going on for a while now. It's very annoying.
Surprising this happened after you got rid of the other dogs.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. It's just out of the blue. They've been peeing everywhere. But anyways, we got a new mattress out of it.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
What anything distinctive about it?
Nope.
I mean,
idea.
Other than no pee on it?
Nope. She went and got it. That was the whole thing. I didn't have any input on it.
Is it one with springs? Is it memory foam?
No, it's a what memory foam. I do know that it's a memory foam.
All right.
Yeah. She knows I have a terrible back, so.
It is always nice to get a new mattress, although usually very expensive.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they're not if you go to one of the stores that's going out of business.
Aren't they always?
I feel like
haven't they always been going out of business?
That's the big joke,
isn't
right?
it?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of comedians make this joke.
Yeah, didn't Bill Burr make that joke 20 years ago?
Probably. yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Investment though, that's a house investment. You know, that's an adult thing.
Always get a deal, man.
You got 33%
off.
Nice.
Unreal. Unreal. Mattress out here for $400.
We got a fire sale on this mattress. We got to move it. Got to get it out of here.
I know we live in a world where, like, I don't know, inflation or something is crazy, but it's like $400 is a lot.
How much you pay for that headband that you started rocking again?
She got me that for about 28 cents, my man.
All right. That's another thing people should know. Yeah. The headband is back.
Headband's back.
Jordan was a headband guy for a while.
It's tie-dye
disappeared.
Headband, though.
Now you're a hippie.
Yeah.
Actually, that's kind of appropriate for today's episode in a way that you'll discover when we get to it.
I'm enjoying it.
Today we have an interesting little diversion to go down, and I'll explain why in a moment. But first, let's say hello to some new wants.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Norm Pattis was my neighbor growing up. He's terrible in real life, too. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, happy birthday to Felix from Sparks, a very dear deer who's completely worm-free. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And I'm not a wonk. I've just never been tested. I like to think that if I would, I would pass. Look at the tested and think therefore the grace go. I might be a wonk. I'm afraid of what I might find out. Never had to say you're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
The impression that I get is that person's a policy wonk.
Well done.
Yeah,
well
come on,
done.
Man. Can't give me a boss tone lyric without figuring it out pretty quick. even if it is from the hit.
I didn't
Dickie
get it.
Dickie Barrett regretted having to sing on the live from the Middle East album.
We'll be there soon.
We got a couple technocrats in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. So thank you so much to the doctor gave me ketamine one time, and I think I saw what Alex sees when he's sleeping. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat. And Sauron didn't lose possession of the ring for 1800 years after he made it, not shortly after, as Jordan argued on episode 309 when Alex was comparing himself to Sauron. It's important to me that Jordan knows this. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So what do you think about that, man?
You know, let's call it postmodern criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're doing stand-up, let's talk about it this way. You know the proverbial, this happened to me last week?
Yeah.
You know, that could have happened to you several years ago.
1800?
Definitely.
Okay.
So whenever you're doing a thing where you're like, the events of a story happen, and then you go, 1800 years later, and then you continue the story, that's shortly after.
Okay.
You could have said 5 days later. You could have said 10 million years later.
The amount
of time does not exist.
This calls into question your sci-fi fantasy credibility.
Have you
even read Dune?
I don't know if I've finished it. It's awful.
No one has ever really finished it emotionally.
No one's finished with it, apparently.
So, look, Jordan, here's the situation.
Yes.
It came to my attention that Joe Rogan had an episode with Tucker
God
Carlson.
Sakes. He's what?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson was on.
What?
And it is a mess. And maybe I got sucked into that.
Okay.
And I can't decide whether or not I want to cover it.
Okay.
Or not. But,
oh, so we're not covering it today?
No, we're not.
Oh, thank God.
We're not. I do not have time to prepare it. And I don't. They do talk quite a bit about Alex.
Sure.
And
I imagine it
does seem like maybe this is something that is worth talking about, even though it is Tucker and Joe Rogan who are not Alex.
Right.
But it's definitely something that's in the relevant sphere. But I did not know if I wanted to cover it, and I didn't have time anyway. So today we have something that I stumbled across in my journeys preparing the live episodes.
Ah.
And I didn't want it to get lost to the sands of time because we'd never get back to it.
Right.
And that is a big guest that Alex had on an episode. And it's just mass excitement. It's
amazing.
This is something that must be experienced.
Oh, God.
The people must hear.
Who could it be?
I don't know. Well, I do know.
Oh, well, no.
But you don't know.
I don't know.
So when we start, this is from February 4th, 2008,
okay.
is this episode.
All right, all right.
And when Alex begins the show, he's teasing that he's got this very big guest coming up.
It's Obama, isn't it?
I mean, who knows?
Trump shows up, then Obama could show up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anybody.
I mean, back at this point, I think the only politician is Ron Paul was going to be
fair.
Around. Obama's probably not going to make it to InfoWars.
No, just a senator.
But
yeah.
I like the swing.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is the fourth day of February 2008. We're going to be live for the next 3 hours. We are probably going to have a surprise guest. I mean, it's confirmed, but the individual is rolling down the road, on the road, and is going to be doing the interview via cell phone, so that can always be tricky. But we do have a big guest coming on the transmission today. I'm just going to leave it at that. I always like to have surprises for the audience, for the listeners, and so it looks like today will be quite a day, if not today, tomorrow.
I thought it was confirmed.
And the individual will be on for a full hour, by the way, a full hour with us to talk about quite a few very important issues and topics. So that is coming up later in this broadcast today. I'll just leave it at that. I know people like surprises, and there will probably be quite a surprise today for you here on air.
Quite a surprise.
Quite a surprise,
This
huh?
is big.
Mm.
Who do you think this is? You have to guess.
Okay. So we're in February 2008.
Yep.
All right. What was I doing? in February 2008?
That's a good question.
I graduated high school in 2005.
Okay.
So I had dropped out of four colleges by 2008.
You're about 21-ish then?
Oh, no, that's the problem. Mm. That's why I don't remember 2008.
Booze?
No. That was the 3 years that I lost. So between 20 and 23 are gone.
So this might be you.
So I genuinely, it could be me. I would absolutely have no idea.
The guest could be future Alex Jones podcaster Jordan Holmes.
If you knew me between the ages of 20 and 23, I do not remember any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, good luck.
Well, I will tell you, it is not you.
Good.
We can check you off the list.
Wonderful.
You didn't get any kind of a sense of who it might be, any clues?
Somebody with opinions?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. They got opinions.
My first instinct is Jesse Ventura, of course.
No.
But my next instinct... For some reason, is to just, I mean, not some reason. It's because of the Minnesota thing, right? I'm thinking Michelle Bachmann.
Hmm.
You know? That would have been right around the time, right? 2008?
Maybe.
Minnesota?
No.
She's nuts?
Well, I'll tell you it's not.
Okay.
It's not Michelle Bachmann.
Okay.
I don't think I would do an episode about Michelle Bachmann coming on.
I don't think so either. I'm not a great guesser. How many guesses? This is a star. This is a star.
Yes.
Okay, like a movie star.
It's someone who's been famous for decades.
Charlton Heston.
No.
Okay. The other.
Charlton Heston, I think, was, Alex did interview him.
He did.
But I think it was before 2008.
Right.
I think it was quite a bit before.
Okay. Is it John Leguizamo?
It is not The Pest.
God, I would love it if Johnny Legs showed up.
It is not him.
Mm.
Why are you thinking about John Leguizamo?
Because...
Did you watch Super Mario Brothers?
No, but I wish I had.
Hmm.
Great movie.
So this is, in this next clip, we'll find out who the guest is. This is your last chance.
Okay, I'm out. I'm out of guesses.
Okay.
Well, I've done a lot of interviews with a lot of amazing people. But I have to tell you, this is the most excited I've ever been. To have a guest on, he's with us for the full hour. He's in Tucson, Arizona. He just played the Super Bowl pregame last night. He is a global icon, an American institution. There's probably nothing more Americana. In fact, they've had polls overseas of Europeans, Asians, others, and they say,
it's not the
boss. Who's Americana? What symbolizes America and Texas?
Who do you think it is?
It is, wait, that symbolizes Texas?
And Americana. They've done polls in Europe.
Well, now I don't know.
You just completely flummoxed by this.
Yes.
And it's Willie Nelson.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking, like, but here's why I didn't think it was Willie Nelson.
Why?
Is because I didn't, but I mean, here's why. Because I just kind of didn't think that Willie Nelson and Alex would get along.
Wow.
Alex thinks he would get along with Willie Nelson. Alex believes that Willie Nelson would love Alex.
But this might be what you think.
Right. Okay.
You might be wrong.
I might be wrong.
Here's the reason why I wouldn't have necessarily immediately thought Willie Nelson.
Okay.
I would have thought that Alex would have interviewed Willie Nelson before 2008.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
I would have figured that they would have crossed paths in some form and been buddies. Because mm-hmm. Alex's brand during those Bush years was... You know, he appeared to be a guy who was
sure.
opposed to the right wing and, you know, someone with Willie's politics. Certainly you could, I could see them being buddies.
And he would probably hide enough of his actual horror beliefs around Willie to kind of be liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Because.
He's a narcissist.
Big star.
Yep.
And was in The Highwaymen.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
But.
Did he ever interview Waylon Jennings?
No.
Damn.
And that does come up. Actually,
I believe that.
Yeah. Alex asks what might be a tacky question.
Is Waylon Jennings still alive?
Nope. But he brings him in here, and he talks about how stoic Willie is.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that that's probably because he's high a lot of
probably.
The time.
Probably.
But it's not just his music that I grew up listening to and that I love. It's not just the films he's been in. It's the work he's done for humanity. And it's his incredible spirit. You know, I had a chance to briefly meet him a few months ago here in Austin where he lives. We're honored to have him hail from here. And I was just struck, and I said that on air, by the down-to-earth and really just the Obi-Wan Kenobi-level zenness. It's not an act. He's an incredible person. I'm not going to gush. He doesn't like it. Willie Nelson, thank you for spending time with myself and the audience.
Well, thank you, Alex. No, I was enjoying that introduction. Thank you.
Flatter away, baby.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm Willie Nelson. What do I care?
Yeah. I am like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
High as shit.
Yep. That's about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this interview, I think, is really interesting because it does challenge some perceptions that you may have of Willie. And then secondarily, it has such dynamics to it,
yeah,
of Willie being so right and so wrong,
yeah,
and Alex being a fan.
Sure, whatever beliefs he has,
some true joy, which I can, you know, it's always kind of like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I like that.
So here's where the first challenge to your perception of Willie may come in.
Okay.
He's a big...
Wait, what's my perception of Willie? He's a big fan of InfoWars.
Yes.
He listens to InfoWars all the time.
He may say something
loves
close
InfoWars
to that.
Okay, cool.
I'm glad to be on your show. I'm a big fan and have been for years, and I've watched your videos and listened to you on radio, and I'm always checking in to see what you're doing, and you're doing a great job.
That's amazing. It humbles me. I better do a really good job of Willie Nelson's tuning in, along with the Japanese Parliament every day. Willie, this is a quick segment. We're going to come back in a long 20-minute segment. But, you know, I asked you before the interview, I said, what do you want to talk about? And you said, whatever you want to get into. Let's talk about some fun stuff first. Tell me about what the band's doing, your new song, Gravedigger. What's going on?
Well, we have this new album that's out. It's called Moment of Forever, and it's a song that Chris wrote. And it's probably the greatest love song I've ever heard.
I think Alex might have been a bit taken aback by that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Sure.
I've listened for years.
I mean, I imagine that he's probably tuned in. He's probably seen some of those videos.
Yeah.
He's probably enjoyed plenty of stuff.
No, he does reference some of Alex's work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not just sort of a totally stray compliment.
No, and there's plenty of times you're on the road as a musician and you find out that guys just listen to weird shit on the road together.
Sure.
Yeah, that happens.
I mean, you know, I imagine a lot of people probably were constant coast-to-coast AM listeners, too.
They're totally
on the road.
Yeah, because they're on the road all the goddamn time, yeah.
So, I think there's something very sensible about this, too. You have just blown my mind that you're a fan of me.
Yeah.
Let's go light.
Just tell
Let's
me about
start
your music.
Light.
Yeah.
Let's hear. And this solves a mystery that I've had for a long time.
Who writes Willie Nelson songs?
No.
Oh.
Alex loves this song, Gravedigger. It's a lesser Willie Nelson song, but he plays it as a bumper constantly over years of time.
Right.
And I know it really well from listening to Alex's show.
Right.
And I never knew exactly why, but I think it's because it was the hit at the time when Willie came on Alex's show.
That is truly an amazing, because that makes sense.
Yeah, and
it's sort
of a very rational, sentimental kind of attachment that you would have to the song. And
And I've never heard it
nope.
in any other context.
Gravedigger.
There's plenty of
Will
Willie Nelson songs
grave?
That are in the like world, you know, where it's like, I'm not trying to listen to a Willie Nelson song, but I will encounter one from time to time.
Beer for my horses?
Never Gravedigger. Never. Mm-hmm. Not once have I not. You have to like go out of your way.
I do think it only exists in my life because of InfoWars.
I agree.
And it makes sense that it was the hit at this time. So they talk a little bit more about just some of the projects that Willie's got going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
And then we did another video that's coming out in a couple of months. We did it down at my ranch there in Texas out there. And it was a video with me and Jessica Simpson and Owen Wilson and Woody Harrelson and all the Wilson boys and Ray Price and Johnny Bush. And we just had a big crowd down there in town, and we had a lawnmower race. I wish you'd have been there. You'd have had a lot of fun.
I actually heard about it from Turk Pipkin and other people.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what we're, you know, what we're into, and we're out here doing a couple of songs off the album every night.
You've got quite a few websites. Or what are some of the sites people can visit to see your latest info?
Well, there's WillieNelson.com, and my daughter does a column every day to tell everybody what we're into out here. And there's the WillieNelsonPRI.com, which is a website set up. I did it originally to try to organize all the peace organizations in the world, and did a pretty good job of doing that, I think, because there's a whole lot of networking going on there about people talking about peace. And then I wrote this song with my daughter Amy called Peaceful Solution, and I put the song on the website and told people they could, you know, record it, rewrite it, or sing it, or put their band behind it, or whatever. I just gave them a song, basically. And so far, over 100 people have recorded that song and videoed it. And the University of Texas did 2 videos on it.
Amazing. Well, go ahead, Willie.
I'm just saying, I'm just fooling around.
Well, it's fantastic, all of it. It seems like your music just gets better and better. You are a driven individual, and that's what I want to ask you when we get back. What drives Willie Nelson? What does Willie Nelson think is most important in this world?
What drives you as a human? I think this is just like, I mean, at this point, it's kind of a, almost, there's not much of a vibe between them. There's not much chemistry at all, but it's just a normal ass interview.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, yeah, I made this website. I wanted to get all the peace organizations of the world together. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I made a song called Peaceful Solution and wanted everybody to record a version of it. Good for you. This is great.
It's got a very promotional interview. Mm-hmm. It's like a professional interview. Like, yeah.
Except with the weirdness of, we had a lawnmower race. Wish you could have been there. Oh, I heard about it from Turk Pipkin.
I don't believe you can have that name. I believe it's against the law because that is a cartoon character's name. I can't take anything serious from Turk Pipkin.
Well, you told Alex about the lawnmower race.
That sounds like something Turk would say.
Turk, classic Turk Pipkin.
Turk just running up out of nowhere. Did you hear there's a lawnmower race going on? God mm-hmm. damn it, Turk.
Alex, you missed the lawnmower race. There's something really fun about that moment, though, yeah. because there is, like, I feel like there's an Alex trying to be like, I'm closer to your world than you realize, Willie, kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, there's a, I knew about that lawnmower race before you said it.
Turk Pipkin told me.
Of course.
Is that an imaginary friend?
No, that's
Prove
a real person.
To me that's a real person.
No, he's like a comedian and,
okay.
He's a real person.
Okay. All right. I'll believe you.
Sure.
Pending a time traveler from 2008 telling me otherwise.
So now Alex comes back and he wants to know about what drives Willie. Where does it come from? And, like, honestly, we have the makings of, like, a pretty good, interesting interview.
Oh, my God.
Because Willie talks about, like, his early days yeah. and, like, getting started. And, you know, that's good stuff.
God, you're going to pull the
I mean, about your life growing up. What made you the way you are? Why you've always stood up for the little guy, the farmers and people in Africa and just so many others. Why did you go in that direction in your life?
Well, you know, I don't really know, except the fact that I was I grew up in a town in Abbott, Texas, which is a little small community farm town. And I knew everybody in town. Everybody knew me. We had 3 or 4 churches there, 4 churches. So yeah, in one way or another, you went to church every day and every night of your life. And I learned that all those places, you know, sometimes the Baptists wouldn't talk to the Methodists or the, you know, Church of Christ wouldn't talk to the Catholics. But they were all trying to do the same thing, and they were just, you know, divisions, even in that small town. But the one thing that I did learn out of it was the golden rule, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's maybe that and Amazing Grace I pulled out of Abbott, Texas. And I think those two things alone have been really good for me.
When did you start your first band?
I was about 10, let's see, before I got out of high school, I started a band with me and my sister and my brother-in-law and my football coach. And,
wait, what?
He played trombone.
What?
And we had a little family band. We played all over Texas. We played in Waco and West and, you know, places that we could drive to with a trailer.
Didn't you start out in radio by 16 or 17? You already had your own show?
Yeah, I was with KHBR in Hillsboro, and we had our own radio show there every Saturday. And then after that, I went to the Air Force and then went down to Pleasanton, Texas, and went to work with KOB Pleasanton down there. And then I worked several other radio stations and at the same time playing bars around trying to make it.
It's amazing. Well, you certainly did make it a long career. You've been
You've been out, what, on the road and playing since, what, 54, 55, earlier?
Yeah, at least that.
Whew. I mean, it's not Chris Farley, but it's not that far off.
No. That's what I'm saying. But it's
you remember when you were a musician? You remember that time?
But also, it's interesting stuff.
No, totally.
Like, I was talking about interesting stuff that I could listen to him talk about. Like,
totally.
Starting, because he actually says he started in, like, 49 or something.
I'm so interested.
Going back to that, like, it's... Radio is such a different thing than it was then. What was that like? You're talking about starting a band with your siblings and then your gym
football coach? Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
Who plays trombone?
What's going on?
Right.
I was so interested in that. And yes. if I was talking to Willie Nelson, I'd be like, stop, don't give a shit about the rest. Let's go into this.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the family band when you were 9 years old or whatever.
Was the trombone the only brass?
Could he
were there other, like, what other instruments were there? Right. Obviously, you know, guitar.
Why did he take up the trombone and football?
Right.
How does that happen?
It's fascinating, yeah. But yeah, there is that Chris Farley thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you certainly did make it. What?
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for telling Willie goddamn Nelson in 2008.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson is still more famous now.
Yeah. And that, I mean, if he started in, you know, like 49, this is 60 years into his career. Yeah, you made it, kid. So
he did all right for himself.
We have this sort of light territory.
Yeah.
And then we shift gears into a little bit more heavy subject matter, like the war.
Right.
Willie, the war. I mean, you've been speaking out against it from the very start. And if you did that at the beginning, the media, the corporate media tried to punish people. They punished the Dixie Chicks, but they kind of shied away from attacking you too much. They tried to make an example out of them. But I remember hearing you on the radio just saying, hey, I don't care, you know, what they do. Or I don't want to paraphrase. What did you do at the time?
Well, first of all, it all happened when the Dixie Chicks was overseas when they said what they said. That seemed to have upset everybody. I was overseas, too, at a press conference, and they had it in for the Dixie Chicks more than they did me. I don't know, because they had every reason in the world to get on me also.
They're afraid of you. They knew it wouldn't fly.
Well, I don't know, but they said, you know, what about this crazy cowboy from Texas you got running your car? I said, first of all, he's not a cowboy. Second of all, he ain't from Texas. So, you know, let's start there.
And, I mean, I make the point that they backed off from you because I don't think that they could chew up Willie Nelson. I think they tried to pick on the Dixie Chicks, but it seemed that backfired on them.
So there's a seeming unexamined element of, like, institutional sexism that has to do with why the Dixie Chicks got screwed over and Willie Nelson maybe didn't. Alex's version of this is they were afraid of you, which is, I guess, a way to articulate this without having to deal, like, unpack some of the issues around it.
Yeah, I mean, it is strange. It is strange because there's, like, a certain element of you have to not look at the very obvious sun star shining directly in front of you of, like, oh, the world hates women. That's why. And then even if you take it down his track, it is still like, okay, fine. Because women in this time period are a far easier target because everyone's going to join you in fighting them. Whereas if you pick on Willie Nelson, some people who might otherwise be more than happy to hate on women will be like, not Willie Nelson, which once again brings you right back to the star shining in the sky.
And Willie, at least, I mean, he seems very empathetic about, but there's no examination of that sort of a dynamic, which is...
It's 2008.
Yeah, but you
didn't even know.
Hey, look, for whatever, you know, that put aside, Willie's real opposed to the war, and that's great.
Good.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
Wait.
Now 9/11 comes up.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. And he has some thoughts.
Okay.
What's your take on 9/11? Do you question the official story?
I certainly do. And I saw those towers fall, and I've seen an implosion in Las Vegas. There was too much similarities between the two. And I saw the building fall. It didn't get hit by nothing. So, you know, how naive are we? Or, you know, what are they think we'll go for?
So you, are you saying you started having questions or that little voice in your head? I mean, did you have a bad feeling the day it happened? Is that what you're saying?
The day it happened, I saw one fall, and it was just so symmetrical. And I said, wait a minute, I just saw that last week at the, you know, a casino over in Las Vegas. And you see these implosions all the time, and then the next one fell. I said, hell, there's another one. And they're trying to tell me that an airplane did it. And that's, you know, I can't go along with that.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. Alex is like, I don't know how you would be processing this. First of all, this guy says he's a huge fan.
Sure.
Someone you've idolized since your childhood.
Right.
And then he comes in and he's like, 9/11 is bullshit.
Right. Right.
You're being given like something that is overwhelmingly more than you could have possibly imagined.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, at a certain point, you just go like, oh, should we hug? Like,
right.
And honestly, Willie Nelson should not in 2008 believe that he should believe that 9/11 is an inside job in 2008. He's Willie Nelson. What's Willie Nelson going to believe?
It's not the most surprising thing.
Right.
I guess hearing it so easily and
sure.
loosely bandied about is a little bit surprising,
sure.
considering the level of celebrity he is.
Right.
And the like the way that a lot of people have much more sort of intentional media presentations.
Totally.
This is not something that a publicist would want you doing necessarily.
No, no.
And it did cause a bit of a stir. Like there were, you know, articles about Willie Nelson is a 9/11 truther.
So quaint.
Because he was on Alex's show.
So quaint.
Yeah.
2008 is so wildly like, oh, you guys thought that was a big deal. Crazy.
Well, it is a big deal.
It is.
For Alex, especially.
It is. That's cool.
And so they're talking, and you get a real sense that, like, Willie is into a fair amount of things that Alex is about.
Right.
And a lot of it is stuff that can be approached from a left-wing angle. Things like there being like a monopoly on power in corporations and things like that. Things that have a left critique to them are the overlaps that you see a
where
bit.
Alex lives,
and
in this time period.
And one thing that I thought was kind of surprising is that he's got some thoughts about the Bilderberg Group.
Okay.
We send the Democrats to Congress to end the war. They increase it. And now they're saying they're going to be there 100 years, Hillary and McCain. I mean, that to me, that is a small group running things right there in front of us.
Absolutely. And as far as I can see, all those people attended the same meetings that you and the guys attended up in Canada. Am I wrong?
Oh, no. A lot of them do go to the Bilderberg Group. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Is that freedom?
I don't think so. It's not democracy either.
Willie Nelson, you're blowing me away here. When we get back, I want to talk about solutions, your ideas, because the people are awake to a certain extent. I just don't think that they have the specifics of what to do. I want to tell them about some of your organizations and groups. And I agree with taking our everyday life into our own hands, like you've done with the biodiesel. That's a separate thing from what they're doing with the corn and other things. And I want to be sure and separate that out and explain that to people and what you've tried to do and all the money you put into trying to get us into renewable resources and things that are actually, will allow us to not continue to destroy the earth. We'll be right back. Oh, in fact, we're not going to go to break. I forgot. I told him to skip that break. I'm so used to going to break at the 20 after, and I told John to skip that so we've got more time here. I'm a little bit dumbstruck here talking to you, Willie. Solutions. I mean,
this is real,
man.
This is a real thing that's happening to this guy. This guy, you've idolized him your whole life. He's coming in. He's bringing up the Bilderberg Group. Alex is like thrown, and understandably so.
Yeah,
it's human.
You know, that is so crazy. You know, it does make sense. I think it's part of what bothers me is Alex is so terrible. Like, if you're meeting him in real life,
mm-hmm.
you know, Alex and Willie Nelson, it makes sense for Alex to be like, right? If you're meeting him on the show, you know, shouldn't you have a little bit of that extra show power behind you? And then you have a scene partner, you know, like, oh, you're into 9/11 truther? Me fucking too, bro. Let's ride, you know?
Yeah, but
he's like, oh, I don't know.
I think you're just not prepared for,
sure,
like, your hero or someone you really admire to be like, yeah, I like you a bunch. And not only that, here's a reference to the big villains that you, like, it would throw you for a bit of a loop. The point where you forget that you already had agreed to skip a break.
Yeah, but you know, that's, I think that's the thing that gets me. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that gets me in terms of why he and I can never, ever see eye to eye on that, is he's taken aback. He's like on the back foot. Oh my God, my hero is doing all this stuff. And what does he decide to do? He decides to talk more.
Yeah. Well, because, but that talking more was him acting like he had to go out to break.
Right.
So that makes some sense. You're filibustering a little bit because you got to get to the break, and then the break you'd already meant to skip.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes some sense.
Sure. He's just choking. He's choking.
But there's another part about it too that is like, holy shit, I just got Willie Nelson on my show saying 9/11 was, probably some sort of inside job.
Yeah.
What else do we need from this interview? This interview's goal has been achieved.
Right. But now you fucking, you're taking across the end zone, run out of the stadium and head right towards ground zero.
Well, I guess a little bit does end up, you do run a little bit further.
Fair.
I do believe that it's a long time till Election Day, and some sort of national crisis could put off the elections.
Sure.
And we could have George in there 10 years longer.
A lot of people are saying that. I was saying that many years ago, and now Bob Woodward's talked about how they're setting up for martial law, of all people. Naomi Wolf is talking about it. I think that might save us. I'm seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, but I think you're right. I think that's a great danger. If that did happen, a nuke went off, a biological weapon was released, or terrorists supposedly blew up a bunch of other buildings, what do you think the response of the population should be if they announce we're under this new emergency, or it could be an economic emergency, and Bush is going to have to stay on to save us?
Well, I would hope that we'd be smarter than that, and I would hope that we'd say, no, we're throwing all you guys out, and we're starting over. You can stop the elections if you want to, but you can't stop the people.
Well, Ron Paul has gotten more donations from troops and people in Iraq than all Republicans combined. The troops in polls, 75% are against the war, so Bush is planning on using these troops here. It looks like he's going to have a problem.
Well, again, the troops are under orders, and if they don't do what the orders are, then they get shot. So the troops have no choice.
The troops are robots.
Is that how the troops work?
Yes.
Do we have? I don't approve of that process.
Well, that's that. Thankfully, they all support Ron Paul, so everything will be fine. I guess there is a preoccupation with Bush staying in power.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that was, like, I think that was a bit of a fringy kind of idea.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was, like, mega fringe. In the same way that, Alex saying that Obama is going to stay in office in 2015.
Sure.
That's wild fringe stuff.
Right.
The fear about Bush, given the 2000 election and given the Iraq war, I think people had a little bit more of that, but it's still weird to hear Willie on that tip.
Yeah, I think here's, and my perception of the time being, of course, is messed up by being alive during it, but I believe, if I recall correctly, it was less like Bush is going to stay in office, and more like, what the fuck is Cheney going to do? It was less about Bush.
Karl Rove.
It was less about Bush himself as he was just like part of the conspiracy. He was the guy who was there. And then when he's gone, it was going to be a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Cheney would be like in the wheelchair,
the guy with the machinations,
exactly.
And the plans. And such.
Or at least that was my perception because of the jokes. But that, maybe
the perception was more the team around Bush as opposed to Bush himself.
Yeah, he was the guy who says entrepreneur isn't a French word. He was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
strategery.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was a big one.
Yep, that was him. Yep.
But yeah, this is kind of like, when you're like 9/11 is an inside job. All right, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Sure.
You have they're gonna do something to get rid of the election in 2008.
Sure.
All right, buddy.
All right.
We're going a little bit off track here, and then things go really, really far off track eventually. But a fair amount of this interview is talking about biodiesel and Willie's support of that, which is great.
Great.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
It's just advocacy for biodiesel.
Sure.
And hemp, too. There's a bit of that. But Alex is noticing that some of the sites aren't working because there's so much traffic. Everyone has heard that Willie Nelson is on InfoWars, and he's getting traffic bombed.
Uh-oh.
We have 8 servers, and this has not happened in about a year. Some of the sites you can't even hardly get to right now. I guess the word has spread on the Internet that Willie Nelson is, and we can take millions of visitors. So people are going crazy right now on the websites. Willie, you have made quite a splash here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you're burning the place down. It's awesome. Getting into the war and then the solution, you know, trying to fix this politically, magically, Ron Paul's been getting half the votes the polls show he should get. Obama was getting 15 more points or more than Hillary in New Hampshire. She magically won by almost 4 points. That's like an 18-point swing. That's never happened before.
Ron Paul got screwed in New Hampshire.
Ron Paul got screwed in New Hampshire.
Never forget.
It's true. It's just true.
Willie is fairly warm on Ron Paul.
Sure.
Which also makes some sense.
Yeah.
Texas boys stick together.
I mean, I'm sure he was warm on Ross Perot, too. You know, like, I have no doubt
another
Willie
Texas
Nelson.
Guy.
Yeah. Anytime somebody is like, hey, I'm going to fucking run, Willie Nelson's like, yeah, come on now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, you're a disruptor to the political.
I just want you to take down the establishment, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that we had that episode about the New Hampshire thing, so we have some context
nice.
For this.
It's nice
because otherwise, I just, talk about
who cares if Ron Paul got screwed?
But this is exciting for one, two reasons actually. Mm-hmm. One, Alex is getting all this traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's coming in.
Love it,
and it's not a conspiracy. People aren't trying to silence them.
Nope.
It is just there is massive interest in this as opposed to the man doesn't want you to know that Willie is talking to Alex about how 9/11 was fake.
Mm-mm. Nope. This is all genuine.
Yeah.
This is just everybody being a real person.
Isn't it exciting that people are excited that you're on my show?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It is almost disorienting because this is built around a positive thing. You know, like
Alex's fandom.
Yeah. Or just everybody liking Willie Nelson and Willie Nelson not being a piece of shit. You know, like he believes some weird stuff, but even if he wouldn't be like, oh, 9/11 is an inside job, so we should do something about it. Be like, ah, the government's out of control. Let me play a song.
He doesn't seem like he has the same conclusions as Alex, despite some agreement about some weird ideas.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot of it is advocacy about biodiesel.
Totally.
And things slow down a tiny bit when we're getting into the biodiesel.
Sure.
And when we're getting into hemp.
A little wonky.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit more left to where Alex generally is.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about hemp a bit.
Sure.
And we throw to the song about peace. Mm.
And if you got food, fuel, material, everything you need in one seed, and that's just too much for them to compete with.
We're talking to Willie Nelson. He's not just a country music legend or been in scores of films. He's a humanitarian and has just done so much good work for humanity. Do you want to play part of that song since you mentioned it? We happen to have it, Peace on Earth. Would you like us to play a few minutes of that, Willie?
Sure, go ahead.
John, you've got that, right? We sent him so many songs. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell him that we might play that if you mentioned it. Here it is, and we'll be back to Willie here in about 2 minutes.
There's a filling time feeling.
Why?
I don't know. Well, I think because you got what you need.
But now have fun.
What's more fun?
He just doesn't, like, it's not, he doesn't play. This is playtime, right? Shouldn't you be playing with Willie Nelson?
Maybe.
In a sandbox or something? Like, look at Willie Nelson. He's on my team now. Let's go make a sandcastle.
Well, he seems so chill in general.
True.
And not really all that, like, I can't imagine. Based on how he reacted, it would seem strange to me if beforehand they had to make a deal where they would play this song.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's, like, an obligation to play this.
Nope.
He's just a go ahead.
I don't think Willie's particularly proud of this song.
No, he's thrilled about it.
No, I'm sure he's thrilled about it, but it's not like this is his song. This is his artistic achievement.
It's no Gravedigger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, like, it's a good song that he wrote. My man wrote a song, and it's for good.
Yeah, I did feel like that was kind of a strangeness to this. It's like, this is a very unnecessary song throw. And there are a couple moments that just feel like we're killing a little bit of time here, which seems strange since Willie Nelson's one of the biggest stars that has ever been on this fucking show.
I don't understand how this interview could go bad.
Well, it hasn't gone bad at
no,
all.
No, it hasn't gone
bad. And Alex has certainly gotten one of the most important things, which is Willie's talking about 9/11 being an inside job and stuff. And so he wants to touch back on that.
Yeah.
And this is a bit of a deflating moment.
Well, I want to talk about courage, and I know you get sick of people thanking you and lauding you. You're a very humble man. That's where your strength flows from. But the courage, or is it just instinctive? It's in your spirit, so you're just doing it. I mean, the courage to come on this show, and I don't think you've ever talked about 9/11. I don't think you've ever talked about martial law, or maybe I missed it anywhere else, and to say these things. I mean, can you tell us in your heart why you're doing this, and A, and then B, is this the first time you've said some of these things?
No, it's not the first time I've said it, and it won't be the last time. I'm just saying what I believe. I'm not that brave, I don't think. I know maybe I'm too dumb to be scared, but I just believe in saying what you really think, and that's always been what I did, and I've, you know, sometimes that doesn't go well with other people, but they'll have to get over it.
Well, you are certainly a straight shooter. There is absolutely no doubt about that.
There's no electricity here.
I say this shit all the time. I'll say it to anybody. I'll say it to my mom. I'll say it to that lady. I'll say it to the judge. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, Alex is like, you're so brave. I'm getting the exclusive here. I'm getting the scoop. And then Willie's answer is, no, you're not.
Yep. Yep. That's such another great, like, unexamined thing of just like, you know, I can say whatever I want whenever I want and people don't get too mad. Seems odd that if I was a woman or non-white person, that could not be the same thing.
I might get a lot more blowback from that.
Could be strange how I can say whatever I want in this country.
So we get to towards the end of the interview.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the meat of this is really, you know, we got Bush might stay in power.
Yeah. 9/11 inside job.
And then, of course, hemp and biodiesel.
Sure. Ron Paul, the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something that's very important that needs to be discussed.
Oh, my God. What is it?
In about 6 minutes, the show's going to end, John. And I want you to go out in the last 30, 45 seconds with... Willie from that Highwayman song, Silver Stallion.
Yes.
You know, talking to a music legend like yourself, obviously Johnny Cash affected me a lot. So did Waylon Jennings. What is it like having those two friends gone, Willie?
Oh, I miss them a lot. You know, Waylon and I were, we fought like cats and dogs. We fought like married people, you know. But, you know, but I loved him like a brother, and I know he did me, too. And John and I got really close during the Highwayman tours, and we did three of those. And, you know, you don't travel around the world and live that close without getting to know people. And John and Waylon and Chris and I, we had a whole lot of fun together.
When did you first meet Johnny Cash?
He had already left Nashville when I went to Nashville, and then I got a letter from him. He got my address from Chris or somebody and said he wanted me to write him a song.
Chris Christopherson. So now, I get it. The Highwaymen are great.
Sure.
You got to bring them up.
Absolutely.
But it's a very strange articulation of a question to be like, I loved Johnny Cash, I loved Waylon Jennings, what's it like to be friends with them and then be dead?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
What's it like to have your friends be dead?
I'm going to say this, and I know we've had a lot of evidence, but I think it's time to really put the nail in the coffin. I do not think Alex is a good interviewer.
I think it's a very different type of interview than you normally see from him. And it's very strange because there's
your famous friends are dead. What's that like?
There's an element of it that can be like, I think maybe what's behind the question is something like, it really affected me losing them, their passing. How about you?
Let's share things together.
Right. There's a piece of it that feels like almost like an empathizing or something, but it's a very, very strange thing to ask somebody. And Willie rolls with it fine, but
it does feel like such that kind of pathology of like a robotic, narcissistic person trying to perform the act of empathy and it coming out. Your friends are dead. Are you okay? What are you doing?
Do you miss your dead friends?
Do you miss your dead friends?
Now, there's something that I can't quite put my finger on.
Yeah.
And that is that he brings up Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings, but he does not bring up Kris Kristofferson. Now, Kris Kristofferson's not dead.
Right.
But
don't you know why?
He's also a bit more left leaning.
Oh, Kris Kristofferson and Alex would not get along.
No. So I can't tell if that's why he doesn't bring him up or if it's because he's still alive.
It could be. But also part of those could be the same thing because Kris Kristofferson also famously hit a lot of people real hard. Mm. So maybe you don't talk about Chris while he's still alive.
Willie's talking about him sentimentally.
Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash can't kill me.
True.
Kris Kristofferson is still alive.
So I think if there's one thing I can take away from my time observing Alex,
yeah,
it's that he really, really likes the Highwaymen.
Yeah, he really does.
It's a sincere enjoyment and fandom that he has.
Yep.
Well, I love all your music, but the Highwaymen, it's just all of it's poetry.
I think there's some great songs. Chip Smallman is a really great producer. Got a lot of those songs together, and we did too. We just sat around and figured out what we wanted to sing. And, I thought that there were some good songs in there.
What's your favorite Highwaymen song?
Oh, I like the song, I was a Highwayman, Jimmy Webb song. I like that one a lot.
In fact, change that. Let's go out with I Was a Highwayman.
Yeah.
I love that one. Well, but we're not going out yet, Willie, and I know you're really busy. You've given us an hour when the show ends. I'd like to talk to you just for a moment or two.
It's a good song. It's called just Highwaymen.
I'm more of a greatest hits guy. I'm not really into the catalog. Sorry, Alex. I'm not really a fan of my own stuff.
Well, no, but hey, look, that said, that is a fucking great song.
It's a great song.
So, like, if that is your answer... That is a fine answer, even though it is, maybe the greatest hits.
Yeah.
But, I should confess, I don't know tracks much deeper than the greatest hits.
Why would I?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're not great, but it's like, there's a lot of music to listen to, and I can't always go back and listen to all of the Highwaymen to just be, like,
I think Alex might have wanted him to say Silver Stallion.
You think?
Maybe. Yeah. Also, a fair amount of their songs were covers.
Yeah.
So,
well, they're super great.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were there kind of doing their let's get a lot of money thing.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. They were great at it.
So they talk a little bit about, if shit goes down, if things go bad, then maybe we'll all have to return to subsistence farming.
Sure.
And because of this, Willie is very excited about urban gardening. And
great.
Hey. Tip my hat to that.
Yeah.
And then things fall off the fucking rails.
Okay.
And it's something we can do. In fact, all over Houston, New York and cities now, people are using vacant lots and rooftops to grow their own vegetables. And I think the way things are going, we all should be thinking about how can we sustain ourselves if gasoline is too expensive or if there is no more or if the roads get cut off. There's the weather problems that we've had, and from all indications, those things are going to get worse. Are you familiar with the Mayan calendar, by the way?
I am, and it's clear we're going to have to do a part two, if you'll do it in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. We could talk about all those things, but it's obvious that the weather patterns are getting more severe.
Well, look at the tsunamis. I mean, in the last 7 years, they've had more global disasters with more numbers killed than in the last 30 years before it.
Two very important points. One, Alex should not be into climate change type stuff.
Nope.
This is very strange to hear from him. Second, Willie Nelson might be a 2012 Mayan apocalypse guy.
I love that. I think that's great. I think he's right on target.
Well, I mean, look.
I don't understand. Try and explain to me how it can be 2008 and you think the world's going to end in 2012.
You smoke a lot of weed?
But I mean, like, and you still, you're just touring? Like,
well, what are you supposed to do?
That blows my mind.
Right.
Anything else?
It's just, I mean, it's just a theory that maybe he buys into. Maybe it's not going to happen. Who knows?
Sure.
But one thing that you can tell is Alex is not interested in exploring that.
We'll do a part two. We'll do a part two. I'm going to give you the topics in part two, though, and it will not be the Mayan calendar.
That's not one I want to be associated with at all.
Nope. I believe a lot of weird shit, but not the Mayan calendar. I hang my hat on it.
Yep.
Yep.
To Alex's credit, I guess we could say that that's one thing that he did not dance around with too much.
Yep.
And it's so fucking funny. Hear Willie Nelson. Are you familiar with the Mayan calendar?
Are you familiar with the mic? You know, there's so many performers. You know, there's so many musicians, all of that stuff. Yeah. Like, if people have a perception of what these people might believe, but, you know, we've met some, plenty.
Sure. Yeah, and people project a lot onto public figures.
Yeah, and there's people who are, like, completely normal, everything like that, and then all of a sudden they'll say something and be like, oh, you're out of your mind.
Mm.
I did not realize that.
Do you know about the underground dwelling?
I do. I will see you after. You know what? I'll see you tomorrow. That'll be great. We'll do the show tomorrow.
And this really highlights, I think, a lot of the bizarreness of Willie, and especially this interview, is that, like, you know, he's got a lot of clearly what appear to be good intentions.
Sure.
There's a number of things that he's into that are pretty cool, like being opposed to the war, urban gardening, hemp, biodiesel. These things are all fine.
Yeah.
And then you've got 9/11 conspiracism. You've got maybe Mayan calendar belief.
Yeah.
You've got Bush is going to cancel the election. He's a man of layers. There's both sides.
I would say here's the problem for any of those. And I think this is a good rule for everybody. If the person who is saying something, you know, has a group of people around them who say, oh, you're so smart all the time, don't believe anything that person says, you know, like just as a rule, there are people who might say the exact same stuff, but around them are people going, you're an idiot, you know, and you can trust them more because they're fighting it. Or, you know, I don't know. Just don't trust Willie Nelson. Don't trust Willie Nelson. The guy who was in The Highwayman. He's not a smart man, or he's a super smart man. I don't care.
He's smart and he has some good ideas, but not everything is great. That's the feeling that I kind of am left with. So we come to the end of the interview, and here's how we go out.
Okay.
Willie Nelson, we're out of time. This has been the most amazing interview I have ever done. I've interviewed so many great people, and I just want to thank you for spending this amazing time with us, sir. I feel like at a certain level we're kindred spirits, and I just I love you.
Well, you too, Alex. I admire what you're doing. You got a lot of guts, and just keep doing it, buddy.
Well, I guess we're all highwaymen in the end, and we'll come back around, fly that starship across the universe divide.
That's it.
All right, Willie, we're going to roll this song out, and I'll talk to you in just one moment, and then I'll let you go. Please stay right there. I'm Alex Jones. We'll have a report on this at prisonplanet.com. Stay with us.
I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide.
I mean, that's like top 10 moments of life, kind of.
Yeah, that
things,
really is.
You know?
That really is.
Getting to riff about the Highwaymen lyrics with Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
After telling him you love him. It's great.
Here's what I find fascinating, right? I've always been, like, throughout my career, always been like, oh, the you know, my heroes, never put too much into a hero, they're going to let you down, that kind of thing. It never occurred to me that I would meet my hero, find out my hero is a fan.
Right.
Find out my hero really appreciates what I would do, and then I would be disappointing. That never occurred to me.
I feel like this would be like me interviewing Dickie Barrett before things fell apart a little bit.
Yeah.
And then riffing about Someday I Suppose or something like that. You know, like I would be like referencing lyrics to
Over the Moon. Over the Moon. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I just want, like, I would want, because this still exists.
Mm.
If I met my hero and it still existed, I would want to come off way better than Alex does.
I do think that there's a. It's not the best handled interview.
Sure,
that's for sure.
Sure,
it's not as bad as it could be, though.
No. I think that's kind of my place. Where I'm coming from, though, is like if I'm meeting my hero, then my game has to be the most elevated it's ever been, right? Mm. This is my moment that I'm going to remember forever. Like, Alex still can think about... He's still playing Gravedigger, you know? This is still there for him. I would not want a single iota of, like, oh, I could have been better, you know? That I could have been better would have just toxified the whole thing, you know, and made it less than it should be.
Well, maybe those insecurities are yours.
Yeah, maybe I'm fucked up.
Yeah,
and I need help.
Yeah,
could be.
But yeah, I found this, and I just thought this is strange.
Yeah.
I knew that he'd interviewed Willie Nelson before.
Yeah,
and never necessarily heard the like this. The first time.
Yeah.
I thought it was mind blowing. How there's just this duality of like, yeah, you like Willie, but then at the same time, what are you talking about? And then you have Alex with this. How do you handle someone you admire so much overwhelming you with like, yo, bet?
I don't know.
He's definitely on his back foot because of that. And then, you know, there's just the moment of sincerity of the,
I
like,
love you. I love you.
Well, I love the highwaymen too. And like the moment of sincerity being articulated in such a way as your friends are dead. How is that? It's so weird.
It is
just a lot to take in.
Such a very specific man would do the things that Alex did, you know, like, and not even. Like, just the idea of, like, oh, wow, my hero loves what I do, like, then I think I'll try and make him happy more, you know? Like, I'll do stuff that he likes, I guess, but Alex can't even do...
But the thing that he thinks he likes is talking about his dead friends. That being dead.
That's fair.
It's
so weird.
It's weird, but it's also kind of on brand, you know? Like, it kind of feels like, yeah, this is about how Alex would interview Willie Nelson.
I relate to Alex. I feel he feels like Alex is a human being, and I can finally like see him as a human being and not a sociopathic monster. You know,
there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, huh.
And there's you know, whatever.
It is not enough. It's not enough that we can bond over the Highwaymen. I'll tell you that right now.
No, it is not enough. But yeah, so that's the time that Willie Nelson, Shotgun Willie, came to town.
I find the present so strange. If the context of our conversation today is cool person Willie Nelson was on Alex's show in 2008, right? Shitty person Tucker Carlson is on Joe Rogan's show in 2024.
Mm.
Like, that is not how things were supposed to go.
No.
In terms of time, if I was in 2008 and you asked me like, oh, there are these two tracks. We've got news radio and we've got fucking, oh my God.
Yeah, those two things that you bring up are very different.
Very different.
Willie being on InfoWars and very Tucker different. Being on Rogan. Very, okay. Very different.
Strange world we live in.
Bad, bad.
Yep.
Not good.
Oh, well.
Yep. We'll be back with another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. And man, we're not really on
any social media at all.
Let's give up this facade.
Yeah, let's stop pretending.
Oh, well. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.